We are going to John's Gospel today. It's been a while since we've been doing some preaching in the Gospel of John. I remember starting at John 1:1, and that's the verse you always want to know whenever the JWs come to your door. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Not a God, as they say in their New World Translation, but He is God, Theos, absolutely equal God, and that's a great starting point. And what a gospel it is. And over a number of weeks and months, we moved right into chapters 1, 2, and into chapter 3 at some point. And I had to go way back onto my list of sermons to find out where we ended. And we did cover this, John 3, Nicodemus, and right down to verse 14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So we'll begin to read at verse 15, and we'll right down to the end of this chapter here in John chapter 3. Let's hear the Lord's word as we read together. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Enon, near to Salim, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. For John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set to a seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth on him.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. Want to remind you of our online church services, that you can join us on Sunday mornings at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Sunday evenings. We look forward to having you join with us in person or online. You can go to our website, www.cloverdalefpc.ca, and there you'll see the Live Now button on the front page. Click that right at 10:30 a.m. or 6 p.m., and you can join us for our Sunday services. We're moving now to our hymn this morning, For I Am Amazed. And I hope that you will never cease to be amazed by the message of the gospel, even here on Let the Bible Speak.
That God could ever love me.
Preaching text to John 3, verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. This is a tremendous text. It gives us the difference between those who believe and those who will not believe, those who refuse and reject the Lord Jesus as the only begotten Son of God. Now, I hope that you have a wonderful testimony of your personal faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, and I'd love to hear about that. If you would like to send me your testimony, let me know that you're saved. Let me know that you're born again. Let me know that you have trusted Christ as your Savior. Now, we're turning to our message.
And it rules God out. Jesus came, he brings the light and the knowledge and the true revelation of God, but men don't want it. They turn to their own way because why is that? Why do they not want it? Because their deeds are evil. Did you see that in verse 19? Because their deeds are evil. Men love their sinful ways. They love their sin. They love to dabble in the world. They want the pleasures, the vices, the experience of following after the what they call the delights of this world. But really, it is a plague in the human heart that when we are born into this world, the world is born in us. Did you know that? In the book of Ecclesiastes, it talks about the world in the heart of man. And that's how you and all men are born, with a love of this world. And that's the darkness. Men hate the light. I've probably told this story before, but when I was growing up on a farm, in winter evenings, one of our activities was to go rat hunting. And we would go out into the barns and the cattle sheds, And of course, those rats would be in the feeding troughs. And there was a technique we always use. You need at least three people to man two ends of the building and someone to flip the light. And so when you would go in there, you get into position first, and then you flip the light. And then the rats, they try to get their exit. Why? Because they hate the light. Their deeds are evil. They want their rebellious ways, and they run for it. And of course, that's the heart of man. That's why man runs from God and despises the gospel and turns the other way. And so it takes a great miracle to bring a man like Nicodemus, and indeed all men, all sinners, out of that condition of rebelling against God, loving the darkness, hating the light. It takes a great miracle to bring that person out of that state of condemnation into peace with God and the knowledge of God. I hope that you have experienced that miracle. Now, if you are the least little bit uncomfortable as I talk to you about the darkness, the love of sin, the love of the world, and your need to turn from those, if you are the least bit uncomfortable, and that's the popular word, isn't it? It's an uncomfortable truth. It's an inconvenient truth. If you're wriggling in your seat right now as I speak of your need to turn to the knowledge of God, when the light comes on, that means you need to be converted. You need to be saved. You need to be delivered from the ways of this world. Now, in these verses, you will see that Jesus is the cure for man's condemnation. He's the cure, going back to verse 16 and 17. Well, you know verse 16 so well. It is the great gospel text. And then verse 17, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And it was because of man's condemnation, it was because he was so lost, that God sent his son out of unconditional love. Not because he saw some good in men or sinners, but God moved in mercy despite our lost, dark, sin-loving condition, that he sent his son into the world. And the cure for man's lost condition is twofold. Two things. One, the cross. The other, a new heart. And you'll know how the Lord said to Nicodemus, ye must be born again. And he emphasized it again. I say unto you, ye must be born again. So he preached to him the cure, the cross. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness and the people were cured, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And there in verse 14, Jesus preached the cross. His own death, his own sacrifice, his own pouring out his blood. That was to deal with the guilt of sin. That was to reconcile God in his holiness to the heart of man in his sinfulness and to bring them together to be at one with God. That's the need for the cross. But the other aspect was the new heart, the miracle of regeneration. And the two must happen. Indeed, it is regeneration that gives the spiritual eyes to behold the Lamb of God. By regeneration, we are given repentance of sin. By regeneration, we are given faith to stop looking to ourselves as the way of salvation and look by faith unto the Lord Jesus. Now, this really is the heart of the gospel message. That's the cure. And so the Lord dealt with this backward thinking of Nicodemus, thinking that somehow the Lord came into the world to do men harm and to leave them worse off, but rather that he came to bring the cure and the need for a new heart and for faith in the cross work of the Lord Jesus. Now, in regeneration, the Spirit's work is to give repentance. And if you have turned away from your sin, if you have repented of the world and all its rebellion to God, that's the miracle of the Holy Spirit giving you a new heart. If you have now faith in the Lord Jesus as the Savior you need, as the Redeemer who died on that cross to purchase redemption for you, that's the gift, that's the work of God by His grace. And so there is the cure at the cross, and there is the cure of a new heart. I trust that you have that today. That brings me to the confession of faith in Christ that delivers from condemnation. The faith that delivers. You will notice in the crammed into these verses, 15, 16, 17, 18 as well, you have this word believeth repeatedly, over and over. And if you read those verses, you will see that every line, every statement, the foundation of it is he that believeth. And bringing sinners out of a state of condemnation to enjoy the cure requires this miracle of faith. And you see, and you ought to note how important faith is in this passage. Whosoever believeth three times. Now that leads us to ponder for a moment on the great evil of unbelief. Unbelief is a destroyer. Unbelief is a betrayal. Because if you do not believe, then you love another. You have an idol in your life. If you do not trust, rest, look unto Jesus, then there's something else that you're trusting in, something else that is your hope. It might be money, it might be pleasure, it might be yourself. You're trusting in yourself. The I is still ruling your life. And that is the case of unbelief. Unbelief is also a denial, and it is to call the Lord a liar. You've got to see, and I'm using these terms deliberately to awaken you to the harm that unbelief is doing. Because when you do not exercise faith, when you do not trust the Lord, you are referring to him as a deceiver. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Did he mean that? Is that true? If you are rejecting it and unwilling to believe, then you make him a liar. Unbelief is also accusatory. You are like the Jews, nailing the Lord to the cross, accusing him of being just a troublemaker, some phony that is not sent of God. Unbelief shows that your heart's love is stolen away by something else. Now you have to answer what that is. Unbelief is a robber. Unbelief shows that you're in love with sin. When the light switch is flicked, you run. You hate the light because your deeds are evil. And unbelief is condemnatory. That's the real reason that you're condemned. It's because you love your sin, you hate the light, you will not come to the truth. If you look at verse 21, he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest. If you're really interested in truth, you will say, shine the light on me. Give me more light. Don't leave me in my own petty thinking. Don't leave me in my darkness. Shine the light on me. Make me to know the truth and to follow it with all my heart. And then that brings us to the wonderful blessing of faith. Faith, of course, saves the soul. Faith is what justifies, delivers, settles the account. Faith is the passport to heaven, while unbelief is the road to destruction. Faith makes you a citizen of heaven. We're told here in verse 16, should not perish. but have everlasting life. Faith is to trust with all your heart on the work of Christ on the cross. It's to honor it. It's to accept it. It's to praise the Lord for it. Faith is to put your whole confidence in the name of the Lord and each one of his promises. And by that you are saved. Faith is called personal trust. And we're back to the whosoever. It's down to 1-to-1. Salvation is not just en bloc, en masse. It's between you and the Lord. It's between the individual and the God of heaven. Now, whosoever is a far better term than if your name was used. You see, if I was reading the Bible and I came to John 3:16, write down these verses, and I read, "For God so loved the world that if Ian believes, he shall not perish but have everlasting life," I would, "Well, who is this Ian? Is it me or some other Ian?" But when it's whosoever, I can put my name in there. And you can too. It's your personal invitation. It's your assurance that if you come believing, that you will be saved. Now, I wonder, have you been like Nicodemus? You've had backward thinking. You have been thinking, "The gospel's troubling me. The gospel is but a dark message to me. It's pressing me into darkness rather than into light." I wonder, have you been like that person, crossing the other side of the road, avoiding the light, lest that you be drawn to know God? And you know that that argument will not hold up on the judgment day. You know that you will never be able to say that you were never invited, never pleaded with, never included in God's promise of salvation. You know that you'll never be able to say that God was not willing to save you. But today he opens the door as wide as any gate can ever be flung open, and you are invited to the Savior. I wonder if I ask you this question: what more would the Lord need to do for you to feel invited? What further proof would need to be given for you to have the assurance that you are included in the plan or the invitation of the gospel? What more? On the cross, the Lord Jesus died with his outstretched arms, demonstrating his welcome to you. Here in his word, he says, "Whosoever." And so, it's decision time. What will you do? Will you run to the light that your deeds may be reproved? Or will you run to the darkness, away from the light, rejecting the gospel? And that will only prove the state of your heart, that your deeds are evil. I pray today that you will run to the Savior, and that you will find your trust and your confidence in him alone. Let's remember to pray for lost souls. Let's remember to pray for a world all around us that's blinded by this awful grip of sin. And let us pray that God will send his Spirit to open the minds and hearts of sinners to know the Savior. We need to be an evangelistic church. Evangelistic in our outreach, in our witnessing, but in prayer and in our preaching. Will you pray for that? Will you ask God to work that in the life of this congregation? What we have learned here today in John 3 needs to move us, needs to make us put feet to our religion and serve the Lord with all our hearts. Our closing hymn today is 297.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church. This is Ian Gollaher. I have in my hand a little booklet called A New Beginning, It's a small booklet of about 32 pages, and I just want to read to you the first paragraph. To be saved and sure of it is the greatest blessing a person can have this side of heaven. Moses recognized this when he addressed the Israelites of his day. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people, saved by the Lord. There are no people like God's people, those whom he has redeemed by the blood of his Son, and sealed with his Spirit, assuring them of his saving favor now and forever. This booklet opens up the way of salvation, how God sees men, and there are various headings with Bible verses. It's not the reasoning of man. It is the Word of God laid out very clearly that the reader may understand how God sees them or how God sees you as you read through these opening few pages. And then you have God's way of salvation. Now, here again, you have little headings. God's way of salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have the text, John 14:6, where it says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And then the next verse is 1 Timothy 2:5. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And as you go through the booklet, it comes to how you may receive Christ as your Savior, recognize your need, confess your sin, repentance, and restoration. And then assurance of salvation, how you can be absolutely sure and without a doubt that you are saved, born again, ready for heaven. I'd love to send you this little book, A New Beginning. Just send me an email, give me your mailing address, or give me a phone call. I look forward to hearing from you. And may the Lord bless you richly and lead you to personal saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca, CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We are on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the homepage of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.